Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how this ministry is impacting your life. So if you would please take a moment and send us your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry financially, you can do that at oceansunite.com and select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
And so we have been through Passover and we have had Resurrection Sunday, and now we begin to look towards Pentecost, which is an exciting time for the church. Amen. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, it seems as though ever since I was discussing this with one of my staff this week, it seems as though, it seems as though ever since Billy Graham's death, that there's become a sudden urgency in the body of Christ for souls. Amen. And so, you know, if it's not your burden, it should become your burden. Amen. We should all have a burden to see the lost saved. Eternity is a long time. How many of you can say amen? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to see one person I know not go to heaven. I want every person I know to experience the purpose and the plans of God for their life, not only in eternity, but forever. Amen. Forever. Forever. Can everybody say forever? Forever? Amen. So my sermon this morning is entitled A Desperate Prayer. A Desperate Prayer. And to be totally honest with you, I was very inspired by Pastor Harold, who preached a sermon on this last year. And he covered a lot of what I'll be covering with you this morning. He is my spiritual father, so I go to him for resources very often. Amen. Amen. So I am going to be starting from Judges 13, verse number 1. Now, remember, as I shared with you in the offering, I kind of took a portion of scripture that was after what I'm about to read to you. So don't get confused. What I'm about to read to you now is what took place before Samson's parents made that offering. So this is how the story actually begins. It begins in Judges 13, verse number 1. It was a time where the children of Israel were really not in a good place with God, and the Philistines were giving them a seriously hard time. And so God had the judges. There weren't kings at that time, and Samson was one of those judges. So let's take a little bit of a look at that. Verse number 1, it says, "Again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. The reality is when we as the children of the Lord do evil in His sight, sometimes it doesn't go too well for us. Amen. You know, how many of you know that God is real? Amen. So He's real. So He also, you know, He also feels. He gets angry. How many of you know God gets angry? Okay, you know, amen. God actually cries as well. There's scripture for all this. God laughs. Did you know that God laughs? So you can also laugh sometimes. Amen. You're allowed to laugh. Amen. We're allowed to laugh. We're allowed to be happy. You know, amen. So God was angry with the children of Israel because they were doing evil in His sight. They were marrying Philistine women, and they were not listening to His commandments and, you know, His statutes. And so He was not happy with them. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines.'" Isn't it amazing that regardless of what we do, when God has a plan, He has a plan? Now, I want you to take note of something really incredible here, because if you study the life of Samson, which we'll talk a little bit about, I can't possibly read Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16, because that's where the story is. We'll be here all day if I share the entire story with you. But what I love about his life is it's so typical in the Bible, where God makes it very clear that He has a purpose and a plan for every single one of us. God has a plan for your life. And listen, once God has marked you, once you have been touched by Him, once you have been saved by Him, once you become one of His children, listen, the purposes and the plans for His life must come to pass. We see in the life of this man, who is clearly marked by God to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistine. In other words, to take them out of darkness, to take them out of captivity of the Philistines. We see, even though he messes up time and time and time again, he still fulfills his destiny. And let me tell you something. He was not very good. Now, that's not your excuse to be bad. But it should give some of you that are really bad out there a bit of hope. Amen. I know you guys. You're all bad. You know what I mean? Not all holy like me. Amen. And I'll be like Paul and I'll say, I'm the chief sinner. Amen. The reality is that we all make mistakes. And the problem is that on our journey, when we make mistakes and we mess up, I don't know about you, but it sometimes just feels like, hey man, you know, how can God still want to use me? And the thing about walking this walk is that it's so much more than just your life, your salvation. It's God really has a purpose for your life. God really wants to use you to touch lives. If you haven't noticed, when you get around someone, and I can tell you that every one of you have experienced this at some point, you don't know why all of a sudden you feel like you should pray for that person or you should encourage them, but you're thinking in your head that this is just me. But it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit that's busy causing an unction to come upon you because He wants to minister to that person. The problem is we don't have the boldness to do it, and oftentimes it's because we're struggling with ourselves. I messed up last week. I said this that I shouldn't have said. I'm doing this. My life isn't right. Or da 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 da. All these different things. And sometimes it's true. We do mess up. And it can affect our relationship with God. But everybody can say this. And I love this. But God. But God. You see, He's chosen you. He's chosen you. He's called you. But the choice between being called and chosen is so often up to us. For many are called, but few are chosen. I oftentimes think about when I was a young man in the ministry, starting out in the ministry, and I had all these young leaders around me, and all of them had such great calls of God on their lives. And a lot of them were called to full-time ministry. And I can tell you now, some of them were far more anointed than what I am. And they had far greater destiny and purpose than what I have. But I believed it. I believed it. Every time God spoke concerning my life, every time God spoke concerning my destiny and my future, I believed it. And I took that word for myself. You see, what's amazing about this story is it starts off with the word coming to his parents, and his parents took the word. The first thing they do is they want to offer to God. They want to lay an offering before him because they're so thankful. So it takes a step of faith to make an offering. Amen. So they make this offering and they're believing and they're standing. And we see the hand of the Lord on Samson's life right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. So let's take a look. Judges 13, verse number 24. So the woman bore a son. Called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manoah, Dan, between Zorah and Ethtol. And it's incredible to me because you realize that the destiny and the purpose has come. Now he takes up the call of God on his life, and immediately the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Listen. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. But there comes a point in your walk with God, and every single Christian must experience this, where it's no longer just about the decision, but you say to God, listen, Lord, I want you, and you have an encounter with Him. You have an encounter with Him where the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, it's for destiny, it's for purpose, it's for the plans and purposes of God in your life. So we see Samson. the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. Listen, just like you and I, the call is there. The destiny is there. The purposes and plans of God are there. But there must come a time where the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. And we see this man do incredible things. I'm going to just give you a few examples, otherwise we'll be here all day. We see in chapter 14, verses 5 to 6, that he actually kills a lion. Now, how many of you have ever tried to kill a lion? Listen, I struggle with my poodle. Amen. With a small dog. Now, I don't actually have a poodle, but I mean, you know, small dogs. I'm scared of little dogs. Okay, so, you know, he has this guy, and he's got this might, this power of God on his life, so much so that he can actually kill a lion. I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome. He slays 30 Philistines at Ascalon, which is in verse number 19 in chapter number 14, if you want just a reference. So we see him slay 30 Philistines. We see him collect 300 foxes and send them into the fields to destroy the fields of the Philistines. 300 foxes. If you ever try and take a fox by the tail, which it seems as though that's what he did. If you ever try and take a fox by the tail, that fox is going to turn around and bite you. A fox is not like a poodle. It's a little more aggressive. And I've been bitten by a poodle before, just by the way. Wasn't fun. I was a young man. I was at this big place where they had all these animals. I saw this little dog. I was all excited. I went and touched him on the back. He turned around and he bit me. And now I don't like poodles. But we see him. We see Samson do these out of the ordinary supernatural things. 300 foxes. I mean, that's like insane. Amen. We see him slay 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey in chapter 15, verse 15. 1,000 Philistines. Listen, most people can't slay 1,000 people with a firearm. This man had the ability and the power of God in his life to slay 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Now, let me tell you something. What you don't realize is that this is a type and shadow of what can take place in your life. Listen to me, you may not have the power in the natural, but in the spirit realm, if the spirit of Gabora, the spirit of Gabora is the spirit of might. That's what it is. I'm giving you the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is Gabora, but in English, it's might. When the spirit of might comes upon you, the spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you can do supernatural things. Listen, the Bible says one will set 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000. Listen, when you are worshiping and the presence of God comes upon you, you can change not only your household, but an entire city. If you just imagine for 1 second, Samson's life being the life of a people, of a, let's just say for example, now this is a whole nation, but let's just take the life of a city. Let's just take the life of Vero Beach. Now, we may not be able in the natural to go out and destroy the enemy, but in the realm of the spirit, we have this authority, we have this power, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do the supernatural. We can change the lives of our loved ones. We can change the lives, our own lives. We can change the lives of our street. We can change the lives of our business. We can change the lives of our city. I believe with all of my heart that when revival comes, a true revival, a true move of God's Spirit, it will transform an entire city. But it will take a people that will say, Lord, come upon me. Let your spirit come upon me. I'm not going to listen to all the stuff of the world. I want you, Jesus. And we go out and we believe and we do it. Amen. 1,000 Philistines. You'll find if you study it that Samson had a problem with women, because he was with harlots more than once. A harlot is a prostitute. Just by the way, amen. And we see they tried to trap him in a city. And so in Gaza, so what he does is when he finds out they're trying to trap him, he takes the gates of that city. It was a fortified city. And if you study it, the gates, the doors of that city, they were there to keep the enemy out. And what he did was he took the entire gate, lifted it off its hinges and carried it, they say, around about 30 miles. Now, I don't even know if we would have the power to move that gate on our own. But listen, when the enemy comes against you and the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you can move what seems like the most impossible mountain in your life. You can move it. not by might or by power, but by the Spirit. That's why His Spirit must be upon you. You will see in the story, as we move along, that everything changes for Samson when the Spirit departs from him. They had a plan to get him while he was in the city because he was with one of the ladies. Little did they know that he was going to get up, carry a whole gate. I don't think if I was anybody, if I was one of those guys, I certainly wouldn't try and attack him. Amen. So this is just an example of some of the things that he did. But we all know the story, Samson and Delilah. And so it is that he meets Delilah and he's completely infatuated with her. The reality is, in your walk with God, there's a very strong possibility that there will be something in you that you'll struggle with. Something that the enemy will always attack you in an area. In his case, it was woman, but specifically this woman. She had the ability to lure him like no others. So let's take a look at it. Judges 16, verse number 18. So Delilah is with Samson. And finally, after many attempts to try and get Samson to give up the secret of his strength so that the Philistines could finally get him, finally, after doing that, he gives up the secrets of his heart. Now watch. Judges 16, verse number 18. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his secrets, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistine came up to her and brought the money in their hands, because she took a bribe. And she lured him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Just in case you didn't know, if you remember in the beginning of the story, Samson was told by his parents that he must never ever cut his hair. That was the secret to his strength. That was the secret to the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. Listen, the secret to the Spirit of the Lord being upon your life is obedience. Being obedient to what God says, being in relationship with God and obedient to Him will keep the presence and the power and the Spirit of God in and operating on and through your life. Amen. So he disobeys. He tells her the secret. And obviously the enemy will do everything to expose your weaknesses and your secrets. And immediately they pounce on him. Then they lured him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." Now watch. He thinks, he wakes up. He doesn't realize that he's actually got himself to the point where God has actually lifted off his life. He thinks he's going to get up and just wipe them out. But all of a sudden, something changes. It says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. When we compromise with God, it weakens the power of God in our lives. What's incredible is they take Samson. They take him, and the first thing they do is they poke out his eyes. When you compromise with God, you lose your spiritual sight and your ability to see what God wants to show you concerning your life. Man, God is so powerful and so desperately wants to transform our lives so that He can love us, because we don't even know how to receive His love. And when we compromise and we allow the enemy to take a hold of our lives, it actually blinds us from being able to hear, see, and just comprehend the things, the plans of God for our lives. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. I've lived through this. I know what it's like, guys, to go through seasons in my life where I allow myself to get so distant from God. not necessarily even sin, just allow myself to become so distant from him that I struggle to hear and see. The enemy will always try to steal your sight. That's why Paul says that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened, that they might know the things that are freely given. You see, God freely has a plan for you, a purpose for you, and wants you to see it and tap into it. Amen. Sorry. We're still working on the sound. Amen. Are you guys all okay? Amen. So they poke out his eyes. And they torment him and they punish him. And this is what I love about this story, because in Judges 16, verse 28, something happens. But before we put the scripture up, they take him and they want to mock him, and they're having this big function. 3,000 Philistines. And Samson, the Spirit of the Lord, has departed from him because he's messed up. But he goes into this room and he says to this young man, he says, please put me between the pillars. And something happens to Samson. The Bible says that what the Philistines didn't realize while they were mocking and teasing him is that his hair began to grow back. In other words, listen, if you take it spiritually, his heart began to change towards God again. Something begins to shift inside you. Something begins to change inside you. Listen, the Holy Spirit works so gently. It might just be even this morning while you're in this place that God is beginning to speak to you again, causing you to get to that place where you just say, Lord, I'm so tired of all this junk in my life. I just want you. I just want you. And while Samson is standing between the pillars, this is what he says in Judges 16, verse 28. And Samson cried out to God, Master God, oh, please look on me again. Oh, please give strength yet once more, God. With one avenging blow, let me be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. Listen, when the enemy comes to steal the sight that God has given you, your destiny, your purpose, and even to be able to see just God's love for your life. Listen, if you make a decision today to cry out to him one more time, if you just one more time say, Lord, this morning in this place, I'm so tired of the enemy having his way with my children. I'm so tired of the enemy having his way with my finances. I'm so tired of the enemy having his way in my marriage. I'm so tired of the enemy having his way in my life. This morning, Lord, I may have prayed before, but this morning, just one more time, I'm going to cry out to you. Just one more time, Lord, I'm going to lift my voice. And I'm going to stand between the pillars, and my enemies will be before me. And Lord, this morning, when I cry out to you just one more time, I pray, Father, that you will wipe out the enemies of my soul. I pray, Father, that you will give me the strength to overcome. I pray, Father, that this morning in this place, I will have a new zeal, a new fire, a new heart, Father. Put a new heart in my heart. And when you do that, listen, the story says that the temple fell on all 3,000 of your enemies. Listen, church, who in this place says, I want revival? If you want revival, listen, revival has to start in you. Revival must start in the church. Revival must start with you. Don't be the frozen chosen anymore. Somebody in this place needs to get up and say, that's me. One more time, I'm going to pray. One more time, I'm going to lift my voice. One more time, I'm going to cry out to you, God. One more time, just one more prayer. One more desperate prayer. Lord, have your way in our lives. Have your way in our lives, Father. You take our lives and do whatever you want to do with them, Father. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Jesus. Have your way with these precious people this morning. Have your way in our lives, Father. Let us be like Samson, not the way he lived, but in that moment, Father, where he finally realized that his strength came from you. I pray, Father, that you will help us to recognize all our gifts, all our talents, all our abilities. Everything we have comes from you. And Lord, this morning, we cry out to you. One more time, Father, and we just say, Lord, have your way in our lives. have your way in our families, in every area of our lives, for surely there is none like you. Let's give him a shout. Let's give him a clap. Let's give him some praise. How many of you in this place believe it? How many of you in this place say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord, take my life. Take my family. Take me, Jesus. I'm yours. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Enough amen. I'm hearing my wife speak to me. It's incredible because we see this play out in the lives of more than one in the Bible. And you, most of you know the story, but I quickly want to read it to you. Are you guys still okay? Just a few more minutes. Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings 20, verse number 1. You know the story, but let me read it to you to show you how powerful it really is. Sometime later, Hezekiah, now we've left the story of Samson, we're going to the story of King Hezekiah. He became deathly sick, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, paid him a visit and said, "Put your affairs in order. You're about to die. You haven't long to live." Now, let me tell you something. In the Old Testament, if a prophet came and told you this, he was at that time outside of the people that he anointed, the exclusive voice of God, the prophet. So in the Old Testament, if you hadn't been anointed as a king, a priest, or a prophet, you probably wouldn't hear the voice of God except for very, very, very few occasions. So when the prophet came to town, this was God now speaking. And if God comes and says to you, you are about to die, guess what? You're about to die. But the same thing takes place in this man's life as did with Samson. Take a look at this now. Immediately, verse number 2, it says, Hezekiah turned from Isaiah and faced God, praying, "Remember, O God, who I am, what I've done. I've lived an honest life before you. My heart's been true and steady. I've lived to please you, lived for your appeal." And then the tears flowed and Hezekiah wept. Isaiah leaving, not halfway across the courtyard, when the word of God stopped him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, prince of my people, God's word, Hezekiah, from the God of your ancestors, David, I've listened to your prayer and I've observed your tears. I'm going to heal you. In 3 days, you will walk on your own legs into the temple of God. I've just added 15 years to your life. I'm saving you from the king of Assyria. And I'm convincing, and I'm covering this city with my shield for my sake and my servant David's sake." Listen, Isaiah then said, "Prepare a platter of figs and prepare the plaster." Applied it to the boils, and Hezekiah was on his way to recovery. Listen, even when, no matter how bad you feel, no matter how bad it's gotten, listen, if you turn around and you do that desperate cry, that one more prayer, that one more attempt to reach out to God, doesn't matter how far back you are, doesn't matter how far away you feel from God, if you make that one serious plea to God, if you remind Him of your relationship with Him, if you desperately cry out to Him one more time, He can add days to your life. He can add days to your children's life. He can change His mind concerning you. Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for you. How do I know that? Because you wouldn't be sitting here this morning if that wasn't the case. Listen, something is happening in this city. Something is happening in this church. Something is happening in the body of Christ. And we are going to be a people that will not be walking around in the flesh and affected by our flesh. We will be a people that will hear His voice, that will do His word, that will listen to His command. Father, this morning, once again, I cry out to you. I cry out to you for these people. I cry out to you for my family. I cry out to you for my own life, Father, that we would be like Hezekiah. And Father, that your spirit would not depart from us like it did with Samson, oh God, but rather that we would cry out to you this morning. Whether it's our last cry or our first cry, it's our heart's desire to serve you, to know you, to love you, to follow you. Holy Spirit, come this morning in this place and have your way in this place. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. By your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit, Lord. Right now. Right now, Lord. Right now, Lord. And Father, even as it was with the Ninevites, when Jonah went and said that you will die, you will be doomed. But immediately the king cried out to God and called for a fast and called for repentance. And the people turned and began to cry out to you. And so it was that God sent the prophet back to the city, and they were saved from the calamity that they were under. So it will be in our lives. For Satan, you thought you had your way with us. You thought you had your way with that one's children. You thought you had your way with that one's finances. You thought you had your way with that one's business. But I declare and decree to you this morning that we will be a people that will make one more prayer, that will cry out one more time. We will be a people that will be hungry and thirsty, and we will not allow our circumstances to dictate that you have called us to do, Father, for you have called us to walk by faith and not by sight. And so it is in this place that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, because He has anointed us to do everything that you have called us to do, and nothing will change that. Nothing will take us away from you, for surely we are your sheep and we hear your voice. And we will follow you all the days of our lives. And so, Father, I give you thanks, and I give you praise, and I give you worship right now, right now, right now in this place. If you are like that this morning, and you say, Pastor Alex, this is speaking to my heart this morning, I want to just cry out one more time. And it won't be your last time, but it'll be the first of many. But it doesn't matter this morning. It doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. If you study Samson, you'll realize that you are not that bad. And I thank you, Lord, because you knew, Lord, when you called Samson, even from a child, that he would be standing between those pillars. Father, for you are sovereign, and how dare anyone say that you are not sovereign and you do not know yesterday, today, and forever, for you know our past, present, and future. You know all things. You are sovereign, and your will be done on this earth. And I bind Satan this morning in Jesus' name, in the lives of these people, in the lives of our lives. You foul spirit who believe you can have your way in our lives, I take authority over you, and I break your power right now over the lives of these precious people, over the lives of their children, over the lives of their families. This morning we break your power right now. And Father, this morning, as a congregation, as a people, we lift our hands to you. Let's all lift our voices. Let's lift our hands. Let's begin to cry out to him. Just one more time this morning in this place. Just one more cry, Lord. One more prayer, Lord. I need to hear you pray. You need to cry out to him this morning, because it's now just you and him. And Father, I just pray, fill this place. Listen to the cry of your people this morning. One more cry, Lord. One more prayer, Lord. Cry out to him, church. Somebody who's desperate. Come on, let me hear you cry out to him. Oh, we worship you. Yeah, we love you. And there is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's cry out. We cry out for our children. We cry out for our families. We cry out for our loved ones. We cry out for our business. associates. We cry out for our neighbors. We cry out for everyone that we love. We cry out for ourselves, Lord. We cry out to you this morning. Draw us unto you this morning, Lord. Draw us unto you. And have your way in our lives. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Come, let's sing that. Have your way. That's it. Just sing it like that. Just cry out to Him now. Have your way.
Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way.
Have your way in our lives.
Have your way.
Yes, Lord, have your way.
Have your way. Have your way.
Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Father, this morning in this place, we are so thankful for your presence. We are so thankful for your glory. Thank you for knowing every one of us by name. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to read one scripture this morning before I close. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this. You may take your seats if you want to. You can stand if you want to. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Now, if you study that in the original language, we'll be here all morning. But he goes on to say this, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. And Father, I pray this scripture over our lives this morning. For even, Lord, even there are people that even believe that you do not love them, that you have left them, Father. But I know that your word declares that you have thoughts towards us, good thoughts and plans to prosper us. And Father, all that we need to do is come and seek after you with all of our hearts. You will take us out of captivity. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in this church, in these precious people that you love so much. I only pray, Father, that the life of your Spirit will increase in every one of us, that we will know the hope of your calling, the purposes and the plans that you have for us, Father. For every one of us is precious to you. And your presence is so strong this morning. We are so thankful for your presence this morning. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the communion with the Spirit be with every single one of you as you leave here. But let it not only leave here with you, let it stay with you. And remember, church, that you are loved. That you are loved by a Father whose love goes way deeper and further and longer than you will ever comprehend. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.